Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Kreisler and Lee Papa, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Pisses me off most about Bloomberg.
What pisses you off?
Is that even after all the dickishness that he has inflicted on the city this week, he still is just sitting there, a billionaire. None of this really touches him. Man doesn't need to give a fuck about anything.
He didn't burn the books. That should please environmentalists.
Yeah, well, but you know, the cops did take, what was it? They ended up like having 75% of the books that were gone, including yours, if I'm not mistaken.
They did take mine, my book, which was, and they took it again when I brought down a replacement. I was kind of pissed because I wanted to have my book down there as a way to get people interested in my book and what I have to offer on cheating, and they'd pay me for more. I wanted to exploit them commercially. I was sort of the white Jay-Z, but I didn't have a chance.
You know what? White Jay-Z has always been my nickname for you.
Really?
It really has. We are talking about here on Cheater and the Rude.
Cheater and the Rude, Thursday's Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit.
I'm Jeff Kreisler.
Who wrote the book that got taken away from Occupy Wall Street, which is what we're talking about.
It was too real.
Yes, yes. Your book saw horrors that you did not get to witness.
You know, books don't grow on trees. The pages might, but books don't grow on trees. They should be respectful of my books. Burning books?
I don't think they burned them.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to talk about something else.
I'm sorry.
Burning books is not what they did, but destroying books. I just had burning in my head.
Yes.
Something about a bush. Destroying books is destroying ideas, and destroying ideas is not the job of the New York City Police Department. That is the job of television executives. Boom!
Wow. You teed that up, and you swung.
I had to get it out of my
system. That's right.
Let's keep it
real.
But
obviously, one of the things that Bloomberg was hoping to do by having the police go in and raid the Occupy Wall Street encampment down
was
in Zuccotti Park.
Was get a fourth term by having chaos reign.
Well, I mean, since he bought his way into a third term, you know, for those of you that aren't from New York and maybe didn't follow this, the law was two terms. Then Bloomberg, who had originally opposed when Giuliani wanted to extend that to be a three-term limit, ended up essentially buying his way into having the city council and the public vote for a third term.
And then
had it changed back to two terms.
He's a jerk. Maybe he could have a... He could pull a Russia, and he could install Ray Kelly as his Medvedev for a
That's
term.
That's Ray Kelly being the
police commish of New York City.
So I actually have sympathy for the cops.
Do it.
In some ways, I do. Yeah, some of them are being dicks, and some of them are being over enthusiastic about the whole about arresting people. I certainly witnessed that when I went down there when did I go down there? I went there on Tuesday.
Most are good people.
Most of the cops there were just sort of like, oh, Christ, you know, we really don't want to do this, but we sort of have to because it's our jobs. And the cops are not yet ready to turn. I don't even know how they would do it if they wanted to turn on what they were ordered to do by the city. But they're ordered by the city, which essentially was doing the bidding of Brookfield Properties, who owns Zuccotti Park. And also on the board was whose girlfriend? Mike Bloomberg's. So Mike Bloomberg's girlfriend said, oh, I'm going to suck you real good. I'm going to blow you real good if you could just clear the tents out of Zuccotti Park, which is a shitty concrete slab down there at Wall Street where at night homeless people piss. That's Zuccotti Park. It was an improvement to have tents there. It was an improvement to have people there organizing and having general assemblies and having the library that you love so much. But Mike Bloomberg, cock, sent in the cops, tore it all down, and put up barricades.
I don't think his girlfriend talks to him like that.
Oh, I think she does. I think she's like, oh, Mike, put that circumcised penis out for me. Put that circumcised penis out for me.
You know, Bloomberg is, he's a wonderful person. First, he's a book destroyer. He's also a politician, a media baron, and a financial finance industry tycoon. So he's got it all. He's got politics, he's got media, he's got finance. If he would just take steroids and release a sex tape, he would have it all covered. Every color of the spectrum.
But here's the thing, is because he's a billionaire, he doesn't give a shit. At any point, he could just say, you know what, fuck my legacy. I don't give a shit. I'm a billionaire. Kiss my ass.
But isn't this him building a legacy? He's trying to do something extraordinary. I mean, Giuliani got 9/11 to wipe out all of the stuff he did about putting little boys and girls into closets. Why can't Bloomberg try to gin up some sort of Occupy situation to make his legacy?
Well, then he's got to work a little harder at it. I don't think he cares. He has no ambitions beyond being mayor. And so this brutal crackdown, and it was brutal on the night that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw a video of it, I mean, the police just came in and tore the shit out of the camp. But what he was hoping was that the movement would disperse. Instead, what happened?
It got stronger.
Exactly. So maybe we could say that Bloomberg was actually a secret agent for the movement.
I'm starting to believe there's a lot of secret agents out there.
Yeah?
Like, I think Herman Cain released the information about his settlements himself.
I think
he's his own double agent. So why not have Bloomberg, who sort of maybe secretly have liberal tendencies. Maybe he's tired of supporting the financial industry at all costs. Maybe he's tired of being a cartoon figure. Maybe he's tired of doing what he does, and he wants to secretly allow himself to do what he didn't do. So he's actually trying to strengthen the movement. Maybe he's one of those millionaires or billionaires that goes to D.C. and it says, tax me more. But he's doing it in a different way. It's a different Mike Bloomberg.
He would be crafty. He would be quite crafty then, because right now, I just think he's kind of a cock.
You know what I don't get is this argument that New York couldn't handle all the people down there. We have a marathon where people shit their pants for 4 hours of running. Why can't we do this? And you know, the only thing is because the marathon is sponsored by Ing. It's got a bank sponsor. So Occupy Wall Street needs a sponsor. I think we should discuss. I mean, there's obviously banks.
Yes.
I think the Kindle Fire could sponsor.
You think Amazon could sponsor the whole Occupy Wall Street movement?
Sure. Yeah. Some sort of Amazon jungle type.
Yeah,
Thing? Yeah,
you think so?
When you're in the jungle and you like... That's all I got.
Really?
That's all I feel like giving right now.
Wow.
This is just the first 10 minutes of Cheater in the Rude Thursdays on Progressive Radio Network, moving forward with forwardness. Is that our new motto?
I think it is. I think that's the Progressive Radio Network new motto. We're moving forward with forwardness.
That is also Herman Cain's new motto.
Yes, yes. Let's not go anywhere.
Stay.
Yeah, I just want to stay on Occupy Wall Street because right now there's thousands of people that are crossing the Brooklyn Bridge. There's been a couple of hundred arrests today. I do want to put this in perspective. Maybe I'm playing cynic a little bit. Will you allow me to play cynic?
You may play cynic. I will play guy listening to cynic.
Okay. So this morning, their goal was to shut down Wall Street.
Shut her down!
Shut down the stock exchange, surround the New York Stock Exchange, shut it down. Now, the problem with that, if that was truly their goal, is that most of the transactions that are done in the financial sector are not really done on the floor of the stock exchange, are they?
No, sir.
No, that's really kind of for show. You know, people aren't, you know, throwing paper in the air going, I'll buy 200 million shares of Google or anything like that.
Where are they done?
So they're just done digitally. People are sitting
computers,
in their offices. They could do
trading.
It. They could do it on their smartphone.
Sometimes people aren't even doing it. It's just computer.
Just
programs.
Computers
all
are doing it
in a nanosecond.
Yes. So they weren't actually ever going to stop the trading unless they were to do some sort of anonymous type attack on the actual software, on the actual systems that do the trading. Tonight. They didn't, when they hit the Brooklyn Bridge, they didn't take over the bridge. They didn't occupy the bridge. They occupied the walkway down the middle of the bridge. Now, there were thousands of people. It caused a traffic snarl. There was much unity. But ultimately, all they did was walk on the path that they could walk on. Now, You could be the cynic, and I am being the cynic right now, saying, oh, well, they don't have goals. What are they? They're just walking from one place to another, and now they're going back to Zuccotti Park and going to have one of their cute little finger-waving general assemblies.
It's a pro-exercise platform.
Yes, yes. And they have done much walking today. They've gone from Zuccotti Park, or they've gone from Wall Street to Union Square, back to Foley Square, across the Brooklyn Bridge. Some of them may be hitting the Manhattan Bridge, and they are now they're coming back to Zuccotti Park.
They could have stayed there and played Angry Birds.
Right. They did not, though. Hmm. So to me, the point is to overcome the cynicism. And I've seen cynicism on the left. I've seen cynicism on the right. I've seen cynicism down the middle.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what do they want? What do they want? Why don't they have goals? Why don't they have a list of shit that we can read? Oh, we need to know it because they're just dirty fucking hippies that otherwise have no point in existence other than to squat in this concrete shithole down by Wall Street.
You mean they don't fit into our preconceived boxes?
That's right. We doesn't fit. And therefore, that disrupts the media narrative, because if people don't know exactly what they want, although I would also argue that everybody knows exactly what they want. They want higher taxes on the wealthy. They want money out of politics, and other things having to do with financial disparity and political disempowerment.
They want some fairness. They want the idea that if you work hard, you get rewarded to actually matter, not if you're born connected, you get rewarded.
Right. So the march was about showing, and this is where the whole 1%, 99% thing comes in. Go with me on this, because I'm going to make it real. I'm going to make it real for you.
Do it.
Because after the Citizens United decision, that the Supreme Court said that corporations are people, and reaffirmed the idea that money equals speech. Now, if you say that money equals speech, then what you're saying is that some people have more speech than others. Because if I got more money, that means I can put more ads on, I can support more super PACs, and I can get my message out there. I can be all Karl Rove, lying to people. Oh, look at me, I'm lying to people, and I don't give a shit because I don't have a moral compass. However, because of the notion of the 99%, what we have are numbers. And so the point that we are trying to make here in the Occupy Wall Street movement is that the number of people and their speech can top the money speech of the 1%. And that's what was demonstrated today, is that numbers matter. And if that can be translated into the elections, and not in the bullshit, manipulated Tea Party way, but if that can be translated into a genuine electoral movement, then we've got something. Otherwise, yes, it is just hippies shitting in a dirty concrete square in New York City.
So it strikes me that you would not agree with Herman Cain when he said, I keep talking about Cain.
You love
that
the Cain.
In response to all the allegations against him, he said, well, I've just raised a lot of money, and that shows that people still believe. You would not go along with those that say that money is an indication of virtue. That when we talk about who's doing well in campaigns, it's always how much money they raised last quarter. You would say it matters how many people vote for them. How many people are mobilized?
How many
just
people?
Just putting it in a campaign contest.
Yeah, I would. I also believe that there should be some kind of legislation to completely ban money, outside money from politics, corporate money. I believe elections should be publicly funded.
This is gathering momentum. There's more, I appear on Dylan Radigan's shows, you may have heard.
Yes.
And he's got his Get Money Out movement, which now has an amendment that had started well before Occupy Wall Street, to his credit. And other people, Lawrence Lessig has started a movement for a constitutional amendment. Even Russell Simmons has done one.
Well, Lessig's is also about corporate personhood, isn't it?
By the way, if you
haven't read Lawrence Lessig, you really should. I mean, he's and if you haven't heard him speak, he's really just fucking compelling.
Here's a quote from Herman Cain: "The voters voted with their dollars," which I found a lovely indictment of our system. The voters voted with their dollars, not
nobody
their votes.
Voted.
Well, but they gave him money, and that means they believe in him.
But that doesn't mean jack shit. That means that that a couple of people thought, well, you know what, this crazy-ass Herman Cain will make it safe for pizza and twat grabbing.
One of my favorite video games of the 80s.
Yes, and my favorite topping, by the way.
I want to devil's advocate your face, if you don't mind, speaking of twat grabbing. When you're talking about this idea that this speech, money equals speech, therefore those with more money have more speech. Couldn't somebody say, well, those that are more eloquent and those that are more articulate have more speech? I'm not saying either one is right, but more speech, can it be found in other ways besides more money?
Like
is speech always going to be equal, one person, one unit of speech? Is that a goal?
Well, that's why you have people to speak for you. If you are not articulate enough to speak for yourself or have no way of trying to speak for people, for yourself, then you have somebody that speaks for you, mm-hmm. whether it's the leader of a movement or an elected official, which is what an elected official is supposed to be. It's supposed to be your voice in the legislative process.
But don't my millions of dollars, don't my stock tips to Congress people, don't my lobbying efforts reflect what I've been appointed to say? Is not a lobbyist essentially the spokesperson for a large group?
But that large group would be a corporate group. And again, you're getting into corporate personhood. And if we reject the notion of corporate personhood, which is something that people like Lessig are doing, then you would have to reject the notion that they would need a lobbyist to speak for them. That the simple fact that they are part of the economy, and they profit off of what is done by the legislature is enough speech for them. I'm sorry, they don't have the right to run ads or give insider tips to members of Congress. You want to say something about that? What was
I
that?
I do have some thoughts about that, but I'm trying to stick with this devil's advocate thing.
Stick with the devil's advocate thing.
It's a difficult thing. This is an exercise that lawyers do all the time to anticipate the arguments. And someday we should have our mock trial anticipating the arguments in the healthcare case that's going to be decided next year.
Yes.
Corporate personhood. Why? You know what? If you don't like corporate personhood, isn't this corporation just one person? Aren't you going to be more than one person? Let me put that back in my mouth.
I didn't understand what that meant.
I guess if you're against corporate personhood,
yes,
you're against the fact that corporate personhood entitles them to spend money. But if a corporate personhood makes them be just one unit, one vote, doesn't that actually reduce their power in some way? Instead of being a large conglomeration of employees and investors and money, they're now just one thing. And isn't everything one-to-one? Aren't they equal to you and I?
Well, then perhaps if we were to say that they aren't allowed to freely spend money on issues and that just barely indirectly tell you who to vote for with the piles and piles of cash that they have, then perhaps if they were just given one vote and were only allowed to donate to campaigns the same as an individual person.
So what if we allow unlimited individual donations?
Well, then,
because can't everybody donate the same amount as a corporation?
Well, you know the answer to that.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, but that's barely, you know,
that's barely disguised as any sort of deviltry.
Yeah, I know. That's like.
All right, then let's move on.
Like barely even demon's advocate.
Even demon? It sounds like a new chain of underpants.
Yes. Oh, yes.
For the twins and you.
Yes. Show your horns.
All right, so I want to share this little tidbit here with the people of Cheater on the Road every Thursday on Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network, we're forwarding things to you.
Would you like to have a better mortgage rate? Would you like to have a smaller penis?
What?
Are you...
What are you talking about?
You never get emails about your penis being too big? Forwarded to you?
Yeah, from you, which, you know, I've explained it to you that it's genetics.
The point is, speaking of genetics, I would like to share with everyone the Groupons that I got this morning in back-to-back emails.
You really are just bored with politics,
first,
aren't you?
Is it
the sorbet of our show? A palate cleanser?
This is the sorbet of the show, okay? This is like, it's more of the little intermezzo, so it's not even a full spoonful of sorbet. It's more like something that looks like what an oyster might have shit in the Arctic. Speaking of, Groupon number one, 82% off pearl necklaces.
That seems fair. I think that.
Paired with Groupon number two, 69% off Brazilian waxes. I am not kidding, either about 69% on your Brazilian wax, or that it was combined with 82% of your pearl necklace.
Wow.
Cheater on the Road!
By the way, those were back-to-back, weren't they?
They were back-to-back. They were then turned around, and they were head-to-toe.
Yes, yes. You know, the 69 on the Brazilian is what leads to the pearl necklace, so, you know.
Did I tell you that I think Herman Cain, there are two things about Herman Cain I figured out. Number one, he just wants to have sex with his subordinates because he looks up to Thomas Jefferson, and he's sort of a reenactor. And number two, he is...
Wait.
He released the sexual harassment information himself, I've decided. That's my latest conspiracy theory. He doesn't want to be president. He's not really campaigning. He wants to sell a book and have a TV show. And if it comes to light that he has been victimized by the liberal media...
Wait, what would his TV show be?
He's going to have, like, oh, they tried to high-tech lynch me. 8 o'clock, Fox Business Channel.
Oh, Fox
That's
Business.
That's what he wants.
Fox Business Channel, high-tech lynching
exactly.
With Herman Cain.
Exactly.
Again, my whole thing on the high-tech lynching is I'm just really happy that they've come up with new ways to lynch people.
Anyway, I don't know, why does that make you happy? In a satirical sense.
Yes, well,
or a real sense.
Because you know what? The old-fashioned rope just it seems so outdated. I want to know that there's new digital ways that
What
we
if
can...
it was hemp rope, you hippie? Anyway, we should have been on camera for that.
Yeah, I should.
Lee just gave me a look that symbolized all the years we've been doing this show together.
I just gave him the look that said, "Wow, way to kill the bit, Jeff."
What if we had congressional leaders have their pay tied to the performance of the country, just like they do on Wall Street, just like they do for CEOs,
just like they want to do for teachers?
Yeah. Why not? Everyone gets performance-based pay. That might encourage system-wide cheating.
How would you judge? Oh, what about the cheating?
No, that's all. I don't need to go.
How would you then judge? What would be a good performance by a member of Congress?
Not getting caught in a sex scandal would be worth like $1,000.
Okay. So if you make it through the year without a sex scandal, mm-hmm. you get $1,000.
Yep.
That's like, fair.
You know, it's like, what do you call it? When they sign a contract, they have incentives,
but
right?
Do you only lose $1,000 if you do get caught in a sex scandal?
Well, I suppose it depends on how you view your semantics.
Is it a $1,000 bonus, or is it a...
Well, if you get caught in a sex scandal, you don't get $1,000. If you don't get caught in a sex scandal, you do get $1,000. So you start from zero.
Oh.
At the end of the time, you could either actually owe the country money or you get money from the country. And it's
wow.
like a, it's a plus, it's like a game
like
show.
It's like Jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take shirtless photos from my constituents for $1,000, Alex.
Yes, yes. I will take glory hole sex for the Daily Double.
Yeah, that was actually one of the original names of Bruce Springsteen's song.
So what else?
Can you tell what politics has done to me? I don't know if the readers are sensing
I think,
my...
I think
That's not the right word.
No,
I believe
you've been face-raped by politics.
I haven't. I'm like the old lady with the pepper spray, but it's not pepper spray. It's politics jizz.
Politics jizz, like the photo of the old lady that has Maalocs all over her face that got pepper sprayed, what was it, in San Francisco?
You like that, Greg?
Greg likes...
You like peppered... What did we just say? Pepper jack jizz?
Yes, everybody loves pepper. What have you been eating?
It's on a McRib. Pepper jack juice.
Oh, yes, that's the secret flavor.
Yeah, this is the thing. Political stupidity me and political absurdity and, like, the end of days is now like the McRib. They keep saying, oh, the McRib is back. It's always been here. It's always going to be with us.
Do you know why the McRib is only here for certain amounts of time? I actually know why.
Because oysters only shit once a year?
What is you and oyster shitting? Did you read something about oyster shitting?
Did I already mention that?
Yes, you've
been on air?
Yes.
Oh, because oysters...
Like 2 minutes ago, you mentioned oyster shitting.
Because oysters provide virility, and yet they live in a shell. And I think that... If someone could make that analogy.
So stretch. What? They live in their own feces, you're saying? And they
oh, yeah. Talk about the pearls. Oysters are just
okay,
a fascinating
okay,
creature.
Okay, but do you want to know about the McRib?
Yes.
Do you care?
Do I care? No, but I want to know about it.
So you see, the McRib is made from all kinds of shit from pigs that doesn't get used in America. Now, you know, you go to other countries and your pig hearts and your pig intestines and all of that, those are used for dishes. And, you know, it'd be a delicacy in Burma. I don't know. And so... So in America, you've got all these leftover pig parts. Now, they take those pig parts after slaughtering season and grind them up and make a nice paste. They take that paste, which is in fact made of meat. It is almost all actual meat. And they form patties that look like ribs. And so then, so every once in a while, though, the supply, they make so many McRibs that the supply of extra pig parts runs low, so they have to take the McRib out of circulation because they don't have enough, literally don't have enough pig penises and lungs to make the McRib.
Once again, that is just like politics.
How?
Every 4 years, we get a swarm of pigs that come onto the national stage to be slaughtered.
Yes.
And some people eat the fleshy part. Some people just kind of stare at the carcasses. And other people, like, select one of the pig things and squish it into a patty and run it for president.
I believe that would be the Republican primary process.
Lee, do you know that every Thursday at 8 o'clock, Cheater in the Rude is here on Progressive Radio Network?
Is it? Is it? You know what? I hear that Progressive Radio Network has a new motto.
Putting pig products in your ass as political metaphor. Progressive Radio Network!
Wow, it almost matched the initials. Oh.
You know what? By putting in your ass, by the way, I want to be clear. It's through the digestive tract. We're big on the digestive tract here. I'm not saying it sticks it up your butt. I'm saying, but it puts it into your ass.
Are you done? Are you really? You can be done.
This is what politics does to you. It beats you down. I've been all political for many times being units of time, like weeks and days.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? I was down there at Occupy Wall Street this week.
Yeah, wow. Well,
and
was there too.
Bring it around.
Let's bring it home.
And I saw, I marched with them from 6th and Canal back to Zuccotti Park, and the chants were going on, and there were people on the sidewalk that were cheering us on, and there was a young man with a trumpet, and he started playing When Johnny Comes Marching Home. Civil War song, or was it a World War I song? Civil War song.
You're saying you were...
I was
re-energized.
I was, you know, inspired. What? Whenever you go down and actually take part in it, I think that you actually can lose some of the cynicism. I think you can pull the pig parts out of your anus and go on.
I think you're right. I think in the last few weeks, the times that I've felt most inspired to be involved have been when I've visited different Occupies. And when I've come here every Thursday at 8.
Four.
Cheater on the Rude.
Here on Progressive Radio Network. Greg, we need music.
Tune in, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be here next week. We hope you will.
Stop talking over the song. This is inspiring me.
To fire Greg.